If you have your Bible, we're going to have a good time in the Lord this morning. If you have your Bible, please stand on your feet whether you have your Bible or not. We're going to read the Word of God. We're going to go with 1 Samuel. We're in the 17th chapter. We're going to start with verse 33. 1 Samuel 17, 33, and we're going to verse 37. The Word says, "And Saul said to David, 'Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth.' And David said unto Saul, 'Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God.' David said, 'Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine.' And Saul said unto David, 'Go, and the Lord be with thee.'" Let us pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. First, we want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. We wouldn't be here without you, Lord. But we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace, Lord, deserved and undeserved, Lord. We ask right now as we dive into your word this morning, Lord, that that word be an encouragement to your people. Lord, let it lift them up no matter what situation and circumstance they're in, right? Like only you can, Lord. We ask that you penetrate our hearts and our minds, Lord, so we stay on you, Lord. We give you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't have a title for this message, but I'm excited about it nonetheless. You know, in media or journalism, they have something they call burying the lead. So if you work in media or you work in journalism, they have a term, it's called burying the lead. See, what they don't want you to do is they don't want you to forget the main part of the story and bury it somewhere underneath. They want it close to the top, close to the headline, because they want people to continue watching or continue reading, you know, as we go forth. So I thought about burying the lead because when we think about, especially David, a lot of times we think about his battle with Goliath. In fact, the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel talks a lot about Goliath. But you can't get what God has for you without fighting first the lion and the bear.
Come on, man.
See, there's a process to what God does. See, you have to first fight the lion and the bear before you can get to Goliath, because you got to get ready.
Come on now. Okay? Come on
so
now.
We're going to be talking about the lion and the bear this morning. It says in verse 33, it says, "And Saul said to David, 'Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth.'" I was reading a lady named Jane Foster. She's a third grade teacher in Iowa. Well, she was a third grade teacher in Iowa back in 1968 in Riceville, Iowa. And her whole classroom, it was all white students. And she was trying to teach them about Dr. Martin Luther King, because he had gotten assassinated. And she was trying to get them to understand discrimination and racism, because they couldn't understand why a hero they had 2 months ago as one of the heroes of the month was assassinated. So she did something wild at the time.
Yes.
She took the students and she stood them up and she said, "All the brown-eyed students over here and all the blue-eyed students over here." And she looked at the students and said, "You know what? I have something to tell you." She said, "All you students with brown eyes, you are superior to the students with blue eyes. You are smarter. You are greater. You have..." And she gave them privileges. She gave them a longer recess. And she did something radical.
Yes.
She said, "You know what? all the blue-eyed students, we're going to put collars on you so we can see you from a distance, so we know who you are, so we don't have to get close to see your eye color to see that you are inferior to our brown-eyed students. She said, never had she seen students turn on each other so fast. She said those kids that were best of friends, were looking at each other saying, oh no, you one of those, the blue eyes, you're not good enough. One of the students even looked at her and said, how can you be the teacher with them blue eyes? Think about how quick that is. And so she did the same thing, and she said, the next day, she did it in reverse. And she said, I was wrong, students, I was wrong. It's really the blue-eyed students who are better. So she said, when she had the kids read, whatever group they thought they were inferior in, they read worse. They did everything worse than they did. You know, something that would normally take them 2.5 minutes to read, it took them 5.5 minutes to read. And she would ask the students why. She asked the student why and said, man, yesterday, I wasn't who I wanted to be. I was less than. And people will place limitations on us.
Come on now.
See, Saul tried to place a limitation on David. In verse 33, he says, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. Yeah. See, Saul tried, but David had already been battle tested.
Come on.
See, a lot of us, we are battle tested, and people start to tell us who we are and what we are, and we start to believe that.
Amen.
You know, we start to think that maybe they're right because our relationship didn't go well, or our parents didn't tell us that we could be successful, and we start to believe what we hear. But I'm happy that David didn't listen to what. But, you know, the interesting thing about Jane Foster and her study is the internal feelings that it created about who the students thought they were.
Yes.
See, people's words can do that to us if we allow them to.
Right?
If we allow those words to step in, and our, you know, leader says, well, you're not management material, or you're not, you know, if you have a little bit more experience. See, God can raise David up. See, David wasn't qualified. But God raised him up. God can do the same thing to us if we understand that there's a battle that we're fighting before them. Now, we're going to tackle verses 34 and 35 together, but not just yet, see, because a lot of times our relatives have us feeling a certain way about ourselves, you know, because they know what you done. See, you know, you can fool the people at the church. We don't know what you done done. Your relatives know what you done done. Right? But they don't give you credit for what you can be either. You know? Because they'll put you in a family. They'll put you in a group. You know, you're not tall enough to play basketball. You're not smart enough to be an astronaut. You know, you're not talented enough. See, David family, they weren't very supportive either.
Amen.
They weren't. Amen. If you read the 1 Samuel 16 and 17, you'll see. You know, it's not like he had all of these reasons to be a king.
That's right.
But God uses the craziest things. You know, we're all talented. See, a lot of times we look at other people's talent and we admire their talent more. We're like, oh, that's no big deal. You know, like rappers want to be singers and singers want to play basketball and actors want to, you know, wish they could do something else. And that's how we are with our talents. We're like, man, if only I could sing like that, or if only I could dance, or dare I say mime like that, right? Then I would be special. But you are talented anyway. You are talented. And guess what? David would not even have a chance to be in front of Saul if it wasn't for a talent that he had.
Yeah.
It was playing the harp. God used his harp playing talent in order to be able to get him to be able to talk to the king.
Yeah.
If God can use a harp to get the man in front of the king, what can he do for you?
Yeah.
Your talent is amazing. Your talent is wonderful. You have to give God a chance to use it and stop downplaying it. Right? Stop putting yourself down. Right? You have to lift God up and give him a chance to be able to do it, and he can do it. If he can, I don't know this, but I'm sure that David never thought the harp would be the reason he got in front of the king. The king sought him out for his harp playing talents. Sought him out. You know, I used to play the violin a long time ago. And I used to play the violin. I was pretty good at the violin. But I tell you what, I'm happy I don't play the violin no more. But I didn't appreciate it at the time, the talent. But God can use the violin just like he can use the harp.
Amen.
He can use the singing. Yeah. He can use the counseling. He can use whatever it is that you are talented at to be able to make a way for you in your circumstance. Let's talk about verses 34 and 35. Let's read them. It says, David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. I had my own feline experience growing up. His name was Chester the Cat. Chester really should have been named Lucifer. This cat, I'm telling you, this cat ran the house. I ain't run my mama with. Nobody gonna run mama. But when we got home from school, she like, let the cat out. We like, oh, but my little brother, I was probably about 11, he about 5. He was real scared of cats. And so we had this cat, and I went to go let this cat out. And boy, I tell you what, I had sacrificed my brother 30, 40 times on this cat. I mean, it was a race to the top bunk. Once Chester got out, I'm trying to get out of danger. Now, David is going after lions and bears, and I'm sacrificing my own brother over a cat. I know what some of you thinking, like, boy, they don't make men like they used to. But let me give you news. If for a boy to kill a lion and a bear, that has to be God. Right? That, you know, man or not man, for a bear to kill, a boy to kill a lion and a bear, that could only be God. See, the bear and the lion, they come at inopportune times. See, David could have had some backup out there, but there ain't no backup out there. But a bear and a lion comes along. That's what the bear and the lion does in your life. It comes at inopportune times. You know, all of a sudden you spent your last little bit of money, and guess what comes in the mail? A bill, right? Guess who want to borrow something? Guess who needs something, right? Or on your job, you've been pressing your way through, and boy, that manager just will not leave you alone. And you're like, oh, you know, that bear and that lion, they don't show up when you got it. They're like, wait, man, how much that bill? I just had the money. That bear and that lion will show up at times it's not supposed to. But see, that battle you are facing that nobody knows about, it's an opportunity for God to be able to use you and prepare you for what he has for you. See, it doesn't matter. Well, it actually does matter. I was thinking it doesn't matter how you feel, but how you feel is everything in this, because God can use anybody, you know? Are you running from the bear? Imagine if David had to play dead. Like, okay, we'll just take the lamb. Just leave me alone. I'm destined to be king. Imagine if that happened. It would have been coming over and over again. That bear would have been like, I know where I can feast at. That's how our problems do, because we run from them. We don't face them. We don't rise up against them with the authority of God.
Come on now.
You know, we play dead. We run. We hope. We wish, and we do everything but believe in God for the victory.
Say that.
See, these bears and these lions, they're designed for you. They're not designed for other people. See, he didn't have any fanfare when he was going through this. There was nobody cheering him on about the bear and the lion. But the bear and the lion was the preparation he needed. It was like he already fought the battle. And it made him believe in God. If your problems, newsflash, your problems aren't Goliath. They're bears and lions. They're designed, because if they were Goliath, you would already know you're going to win. Because David had already fought enough battles, he knew he was going to win. He's like, the same God that delivered me out of the pit, you know, the paw, the bear, and the lion, who delivered me out of this. We have to rise up and do it. You know, bears and lions, they come in all, they're different for everybody. I had a friend growing up, his name was Nick. Nick worked at McDonald's. And you know, honestly, he got teased for working at McDonald's. Like, oh man, you working at McDonald's, man, you ain't making no money, you can't do anything, you know. He made, you know, back then like $5 an hour. And he went to work, and it wasn't enough money. He was praying. He was older. He was praying. He said, you know, I wish I made more money. But you know, I'm going to do a good job anyway. You know, see, a lot of times we like, look, if I made more money, I'd do a good job. But, you know, for $12, I ain't doing all that. We want to tell them what we're going to do.
Amen.
You know, but Nick was faithful. He said, you know what? He would put on this McDonald's hat, and he'd be walking down to McDonald's, and people would be laughing at him and everything. And, you know, he was inexperienced. He worked there 2 years. He worked. And then one day, a customer came through the drive-thru. And he said, you know what? Because Nick is like a robot. I mean, he was very, very orderly, and he wanted everything in the right spot. A customer came through the drive-thru one day and said, you know what? I want to hire you. Nick went from making $5 an hour to $25 an hour one day. But it's the bear and the lion that prepares you to do that. And I remember saying, boy, now he got hired to be a supervisor at the plant. I said, man, you never led anybody. How? You good? He was like, look, I came to McDonald's every day and I worked hard. If I can work hard for $5, I can work hard for $25. Right?
Amen.
God will prepare us if we allow him to do it.
Yes.
See, a lot of us quit before that opportunity comes.
Yeah.
You know, we start looking at the situation and say, it's not enough to do this, it's not enough to do that. God can use your talents if we're faithful enough to be able to believe in him that he can do it.
Amen.
36, it says, thy servants do both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God.
That's right.
I love how our problems will propel us to what God has for us.
Yes.
They will. You know, a lot of people want to be in relationships. And the lion and bear for them is looking in the mirror and loving who you see.
Say it.
We got to get ourselves together first.
Say it.
See, we want these relationships, we want all these other things, but that lion and the bear is for you to see the God in you shining through, and nobody else has to come and do things for you.
Amen.
And make you feel
complete. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And make you feel something.
Come on,
that lion and the bear, you got to look deep down inside yourself and tell yourself you're beautiful even if nobody else is there to do it. You know, we can hope and wish and pray, but we have to slay the lion and the bear first. God has to get us comfortable dating ourselves before we can worry about having companionship. You know, we have to. We have to. You cannot be defined by other people. If you wait on somebody else to tell you, you this, you that, good job, or good, bad, or different, you're going to be waiting. You are. You know, David fought Goliath, and we know that. But I tell you what, David, the funny part is when he fought Goliath, he knew that if he did this, God was going to, you know, because they were talking, they're like, the man who slays this giant, boy, the king is going to take care of him. See, it's a lot easier when you know something is going to happen. Like, if I do this, then this will happen. Yeah. It's a lot easier for us to act. The lion and the bear will come with those outcomes. You know, like at work, if your boss says, if you do this, you'll get this, man, ain't no problem. When your boss says, well, you do this, you're like, I don't want to do that,
huh?
Right? See, that lion and that bear, it don't tell you that if you do this, you're going to get something. David knew he was getting something out of this. And he stepped up and he did it. See, we have to adjust our thinking. Those things that you're going through that maybe you think are unfair, Lord, why me? God is preparing you.
He is preparing you.
You have to push yourself. When ain't nobody else there to do it. You have to do it. A pivotal moment in my life was when I was going from sixth grade to seventh grade. I don't know if I've told this story out loud, but when I was in sixth you know, in school, I was, modestly, I'll say, man, elementary school, I was the man. Right? I was the man. And but then it was middle school, right? And it, where I grew up, you know, I had to, walk to middle school. And before I even went, got to middle school, people tell me, boy, you go to middle school, the gangs are over where you go to middle school. They're going to beat you up. Now, I had really gotten into maybe a couple fights. You know, Michael Baker, y'all remember him down the street, my family. I got into a couple fights. I'm not a fighter, but you know, I'm a talker for sure. We get all the way to the fighting part. I got to do all that. But at any rate, I probably hadn't gotten into a fight since I was 5-6 years old. And so they telling me, gangs, how about you see me on my way to middle school? Now, I can't tell my mom, because my mom will tell me, well, you better toughen up. You better. So I'm going to go tell her. So I go to sixth grade, and I meet a girl. I ain't going to even say her name. Her name's Tiffany. I'm going to say it. If you're out there, Tiffany, I'm ready. So her brother was one of the leaders of the gang. And boy, I was like, and she was tall too. I mean, back then in sixth grade, she was probably 5'11", 6 feet. She played basketball. She was good, but man, she was a bully. Man, Tiffany, and it didn't help that I played violin. That didn't help. I'm just being honest. Man, Tiffany would get up my grill like, man, I do not, my brother gonna get you. Man, all sixth grade, it was a good day if I didn't have to hear from Tiffany. I was the man going to school in fifth grade. I'm like, yeah, I go to sixth grade, I gotta put up with this girl. So between, sixth grade was over. And, in the summer between sixth and seventh grade, I said, you know what, I made up my mind. I was like, look, I'm done with this. I'm about to go to school and have a good time. Because I was a class clown and all that stuff. I'm about to go have fun in school. First day of school, Tiffany tried the same stuff she tried with me in sixth grade. I told her I wouldn't have it. You know what? I had no problem with her ever since then. I was probably more of a problem to her than she was to me at that point. But it took me to be able to finally do something and say something for that situation to not be what it was.
Your situation
is waiting on you to step up. It's waiting on you to do something. It's waiting on you to look at it and fight back. Not literally. Figuratively. You got kids in there. I don't have kids. That's what I'm saying. But whatever your battle is, you can win with the help of God. Our last verse we're talking about is verse 37. As David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine, of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. See, it's funny how Saul, just a couple verses earlier, like, no, you can't do this. You can't do this. But then he learned about the lion and the bear, and all of a sudden he's like, okay, you can do this, because Saul wouldn't go fight. No, he wasn't going to fight. But we have to learn to fight not in our own strength, but in the strength of God. See, David knew that it was only God that could deliver him out of the lion and the bear. So he knew he wasn't fighting in his own strength. So it was easier for him to be able to step up and do it. I some friends that are married. And I went over to their house. They had this dry erase board. They had their goals up on the board. And I looked at the goals and I said, huh. You know, they had, the obligatory put God first. They had them at the top and at the bottom and a couple Bible verses. None of their goals was really about saving money, right? So I just asked a couple questions. And come to find out, every goal that they had, it was what they were already doing. I said, so you got all this stuff about God. What are he up here for? What you believe in him for? What can he do for you? We can do a lot of things in our own strength, and that's what we start thinking about. We start thinking about, okay, well, you know what? I get paid on Tuesday, and then, if I do a little bit of budget, God can give you a windfall.
Yeah.
I know don't want to eat that. I'm only doing this. You know, it ain't about your own strength. We got to get out of doing things in our own strength. Now, I know you might look at David, and you might say, well, David was chosen by God. I'm going to say, so what? There's a lot of people chosen by God.
Amen.
They didn't do what they had to. Saul was chosen by God.
Yeah.
I'm going to read to you 1 Samuel 9:15. It says, now this is God. You don't have to turn to it. I'll read it to you. You can read it later if you want to turn. If you want to get up the path, I guess pages is wrangling. 1 Samuel 9:15. It says, now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I spake to thee of, this shall reign over my people. Saul was chosen by God. He didn't fulfill his destiny. So you can say, well, David was chosen. That don't matter. You're chosen. The Jews were chosen. What happened to their destiny? Right?
Come on now.
Think about the limitations that David had. His family was a limitation. He went to show up to the battle and ask a question. Is his brother like, who maybe left them few sheep with? When he went to get anointed, he wasn't even invited. When Samuel came to his family and said, God told me to anoint one of your sons, David wasn't even in the room. Samuel like, is there anybody else? They had to go get him to bring him in. His family was a limitation. His background wasn't a warrior. He played the harp. He wasn't a warrior. He wasn't experienced, as Saul so eloquently pointed out in verse 33. We have to stop making excuses for why we can't do something. So what does your family don't believe in you? So what, you don't have the background? That cannot limit you from doing what you're supposed to do for God.
That's right.
They can't. We have to stop letting these things be a limitation on us. We have to stop making excuses. Because of David's willingness to stop making excuses, a whole nation was lifted up because of his ability to take action. Because of him doing something, a whole nation was delivered out of the hand of the enemy. But what about your house? Does it need to be delivered out of the hand of the enemy? What about you? Do you need to be delivered out of the hand of the enemy? We got to stand on God's principles. We got to stand and do what he wants us to do, and he will make a way for us. I don't care whatever your situation is. I know God can do it. I know what God's done for me, right? And I know he can do it for you. I believe in him. I believe in him for you, if you know me.
Amen.
Last thing I want to leave you with is, you know, life sometimes is tough for us. It does. We don't know what's going on. We don't, you know, we're not where we are. We know we aren't where we've been, but we know we aren't where we want to be either.
Amen.
And a lot of times we start to focus on our situations, and we start to focus on what we're going through, and not focused on the God who can change things in an instant. If you love him, why don't you give him a hand clap? I'm going to ask everybody to stand with him.
Surely there are lines.
your job, in your home, as you walk down the street. But I am the Lord thy God that have given thee the strength, that no weapon that is formed against thee shall have the ability and the power to overcome thee. Therefore I say unto you, my people, keep your eyes lifted up from where your strength and your help cometh from, and knowing that your help cometh from me. I am the great I am. I am the Lord, the deliverer of all things. Therefore, put your trust and your confidence in me. And look into the eyes of the lion and say, you are already defeated. Look into the eyes of the bear and say, you are already defeated. And then you begin to press your way through them. Don't let them stop you. Don't let them hold you up. But know that if I am with thee, if I am fighting for thee, you can do all things through me who have strengthened thee and enabled thee. Therefore, my children, run this race in victory. Run this race with pride. Run this race in authority, knowing that there is no weapon formed, no lion, no bear, no kind of animal, no kind of victim, no kind of person can stop you from doing the work that I have called you to do. Remember, my children, if I called and chose you to do it, you must accomplish it. You must be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that I shall take thee through. I'll go before you and make all your crooked places straight as long as you hold fast to your profession of faith.
Let's give God some praise. Let's give Him some praise. You know, the lion and the bear, it might be prevalent in your life right now. And maybe you haven't been fighting the fight that you need to fight, and you want today to be different. You know, as they show that we're ready to step up and fight the fight that we need to fight, maybe you've been fighting it, and if that's the case, I'm not talking to you. But if you're ready to step out and say, I'm going to start fighting this battle, I just want you to stand and come across the front here today.